What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we're going to talk about a bunch of books that come out this Wednesday and subsequent Wednesdays.
Yeah. The same books will be there on the stands. They don't re-come out, because once you can do something, you'll only do it once.
Oh, wow. Well, I was actually saying we have a bunch of advance reviews this episode, stuff that is actually hitting the stands this morning, but a couple of other things that are coming out in a couple of weeks. But you know what? You're right, too.
Yeah.
Everybody's right about this.
Everybody's right.
Anything you want to throw in there, Pete?
I don't think Justin's right on this one.
Okay. No, he is. They're still going to be on the stands if you go to the place.
Well, if it hasn't come out yet, how can it be on the stands?
You know what I mean? It hasn't come out yet, it's new to you. NBC, Thursdays.
Very cool.
Good ref. Let's kick it off with a big release, Justice League number one. This is from DC Comics, which is short for Detective Comics.
Yeah.
It's a publisher. They're one of the big ones. You guys know what's going on. This is spinning out of No Justice, which is spinning out of Dark Knight's Metal.
There is no justice.
But this is... what do you guys think? I don't know. I was going to just blather for a while.
This is your classic big team book relaunch. New team members are on. Some other members are off. We figure out who the sort of tentpole character is going to be in this run. It's Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, John Johns.
John Johns, the best name in the biz.
I would like to say, though, that Zelbin kind of called this. You know, Scott Snyder had been working on Batman for a while, and Zelbs was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if they put some great writers on Justice League and tried to bring that title and make that the flagship, which I feel like they're trying to do here.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, you're awesome.
I appreciate that. Wow, everybody's so nice to each other.
Fuck you.
Wow, unnecessary. Scott Snyder, I'm happy he's on the book. I like his writing.
Yep.
Even though this definitely hits all the marks you would expect from the relaunch of a Justice League title, of just a huge new threat coming from a distant part of the galaxy. He incorporates a lot of stuff from heavy metal. Dark Knight's Metal. from his heavy metal career when he was the lead singer of Rat.
is that a heavy metal band?
I don't know.
Yeah, Rat is
about.
A heavy
metal. Are they?
Yeah.
The two T's?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, nice.
The extra T is for temporary, because that's what their careers were.
Oh, come on, man.
Sam, they get it. Heavy metal.
Yeah, I like this as well. I will say it's funny that you mentioned the lead-up stuff, because... this, to me, it struck me like, oh, my God, it has taken so long to get here. They've had to work so hard for it to be like, hello, I'm Martian Manhunter in my normal costume of the Justice League.
Yeah.
That it's been hundreds of comics and years of them eventually coming around to the status quo point again. That part doesn't necessarily feel worth it just in terms of a lift. But I, like you said, I am glad they got there. The Justice League spends a lot of time in this issue sitting around a table and talking.
Yeah, they
do.
So
I feel like the real star of the comic books is the
villains?
Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So
good.
Really fun reveal. Where he's like, you need a legion. I thought that was a great line.
Yeah, it's fun to see Lex Luthor back in the villain seat as well. Mm-hmm.
Now, I always think it's funny when they're like putting together Legion of Doom and they're like, should we call the Joker? Like, he's sort of a wild card. He's not super helpful in a lot of ways. Do we need to have, like, a villain to match either of them? Or it's like, you know what? Let's get two Superman villains. They're a little more extreme. Why are we having the Joker here?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Black Manta, do we need him?
Yeah. Hey,
are we going
cool
underwater?
Probably. I like Black Manta.
Okay. Well, great for you.
Hey, listen, if you're going to get the Legion of Doom together, you need the core players.
Yeah, but are they friends? I feel like they're not friends.
Who cares if they're friends? They're villains.
What does that mean?
That means you don't have to be friends.
Villains are friends with each other. They have to get along.
No, they do not.
If the fun
part about being a villain, you don't have to get along with anybody.
No, you get along with the people on your team. If you work for an evil corporation, you still have to like go to conference room meetings.
No, you do not.
Yes, you do.
No way.
There are evil conference room meetings.
Yes, but you still have like evil lunch together with your evil friends and like laugh about evil.
You have an evil retreat where you have evil brainstorms learning about evil SEO.
That's the whole point of being a villain. So you don't have to do the good guy bullshit.
That's what they're doing in this issue and going forward.
No, they will not.
Anyway, what do you think about this, Pete?
I thought this was a great first issue. I thought it was a really solid kind of setup. I mean, I was disappointed with the talking, especially when they're like, all right, we got a minute left, and then they go into a long monologue, and I was just like, it seems like the minute's over, guys. But yeah, I was really happy with this. The writing is solid. It had some nice oh shit moments. And yeah, I'm really excited. I didn't know Martian Manhunter could turn into what he did. I thought that was pretty badass.
A dragon?
Yeah, dragon.
A giant dragon, yeah.
Yeah, direct
Game of all of the Justice League actually can turn into dragons, every single last one of them.
What?
It's a Game of Thrones reference and crossover.
Let's move on to another big green thing and talk about Hulk number one from Marvel Comics. This is another big, very different launch. If you've been following Hulk for the past couple of years, he's traveled into space. He's been a superhero.
He's been in a trunk.
He's been in a trunk.
Most interestingly, in a trunk.
And Bruce Banner is back alive and recently discovered in a big No Surrender, was that what it's called?
Yes.
No Surrender crossover, that he can never die, or at least the Hulk can never die. So this is a horror title, like almost straight up horror title.
Yeah.
I thought this was great. What did you guys think?
It was an interesting take for a couple reasons. First off, The people that were killed, there's a robbery in this, and like a bunch of people die. I was like, oh man.
Yeah, I know. That was a weird bummer. I was like, why did they have to die for this?
Yeah.
Like, I get the horror aspect, and I like that angle a little bit because it makes the Hulk seem so big and so monstrous, which was a really cool take. But it's hard to get behind it and root for the Hulk, which is what I normally like to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the Hulk, Bruce Banner is shot and killed, and then the Hulk emerges a long time later when he's at the morgue and goes back and gets his revenge.
Really takes his time.
Yeah, he takes his time. He's very chatty. He really twists
it's a different
knife,
Hulk.
Twists the knife into the victim a little bit. And to your point, it is a horror comic, very much like a 1950s style anthology horror comic. This feels like a standalone. I don't know how many like arcs. I feel like it's going to maybe start this way with standalone issues and then see where we get.
Yeah, eventually build up from there. There's a 4-page spread in the middle with the reveal of the Hulk that I thought was fantastic. So well done. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I do like it. I think it is. It's a totally different take. Like, if you put like this next to the Peter David Hulk, they're like absolutely like opposite characters.
That's one of the things that I think is great about the Hulk, and everybody has explored pretty much from Peter David on, is the idea of the Hulk can be different every time. There can be different aspects based on what Bruce Banner is feeling. And this is the fear that I think Bruce Banner is feeling right now. The other thing, this is definitely spoiler territory, but one thing I really appreciated is that the Hulk didn't kill anybody, even though this is a horror comic, because I do feel like, even though that's a weird line for the Hulk, you know, they've discussed it a lot, the fact that he's wrecked tons of buildings, but nobody's ever died in them. I like that aspect. I do like that aspect, and I'm glad they kept that. And I think, if anything, the bloody endings in the grocery store at the beginning are to contrast with the fact that the Hulk doesn't kill these guys by the end. He just utterly breaks them.
So I would want to touch on a couple of things. I'm a big Hulk fan for many years. And sometimes it's a lot of fun when they take different choices with the Hulk, like the Gray Hulk and all that kind of fun stuff. And then there was the Red Hulk, and there was like a bunch of Hulks. But this is, artistically, I was like, this is awesome. But kind of like the Hulk fan of me was disappointed, because I was like, oh, this isn't the Hulk that I know and love. So hopefully this will get better for me. But I can understand intellectually why this is pretty cool.
What was your favorite Hulk, Pete?
Oh, man. That's tough. I would have to see.
You never read the Hulk.
Yeah, no, you don't know anything about this guy.
What? You watch your mouth. You watch your goddamn mouth.
You don't know anything about
him. I would say
him.
My favorite Hulk was probably Herb Trimpe's Hulk, when it was shout.
Not what I was expecting.
At the Heart of an Atom, which was pretty awesome. It was a love story that was really powerful.
Wow. Look at this guy.
Wait, what was your favorite Hulk, Justin?
Probably Peter David. Peter David. Yeah. Intelligent Hulk, no Bruce Banner, Pantheon. In Control of the Rage,
Greg Pak, Planet Scar. Oh, Hulk.
No, you already said your answer. Alex?
I'm going to say Crossroads Hulk, which is kind of the dumb Hulk, but I love that storyline when Doctor Strange banishes him for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's just this dumb, sad Hulk that's going from world to world and kind of meeting people and sometimes helping them and sometimes not. That was my favorite.
I think this is really a reflection on each of our lives.
Yeah. I don't like how many times you said dumb, though.
Because you're dumb.
That's what I'm trying to say. I do not get that.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, that's fine. Huh? We can just move on.
What?
Alex Smash. Huh? Alex Smash.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Smash on to the next comic. We're going to be talking about Modern Fantasy number 1 from Dark Horse, which comes out June 27th. Now, this is a book about a relatively normal girl working in a fantasy world, and she gets... perhaps sucked into some big adventures. Pete is raising his hand.
I'm chopping at the bit here. I don't want to cut you off.
I believe the expression is champing at the bit.
Oh, nice. Oh, busted. Anyways. Another dumb Alex move.
So anyways, you normally put these books on us that are these like very cute, adorable teen bullshit things. But I fucking loved this comic.
Wow.
I was so ready to hate it and to be like, fuck Zalbin and all of his bullshit. But this was so enjoyable.
What did you like about it in particular?
Well, I really liked...
I should mention I hated it. No, I didn't, actually.
Whoa.
I just liked all the fun stuff where it was like a fantasy world, but then kind of put in corporate America. And it was fun, like the way she had like... the scroll phone and all these. It was just like they were smart about a lot of the different choices, and it was just really fun. The juxtaposition was really cool, and I love the character voices. Art wasn't my favorite, but it really works for this world.
This is created by a recent guest on the show, Kristen Goodsnook, so if you remember that. I like this as well. It reminded me of Adventure Time in a positive way.
Uh-huh. You love fucking
I love Adventure Time, both the art and the sort of style of the book. It's, I guess, an adult version of Adventure Time. Like, they're dealing with, like, they all get high at one point with an elf, and his elf weed, strong. Pete knows that.
It's
fun. Excited to see where it goes. Really kicks you off on an adventure, right?
Kristen's art is great in this book. You guys have talked about, there's so many nice details. There's one, forgetting exactly what it is, but she's just walking down the street, and way in the background, there's a billboard that says something like Centaur Milk or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fun little jokes like that. And the characters are really engaging. There's a character called Lizard Wizard, which is just
Minotaur Milk.
Minotaur Milk. Thank you very much. Nice. That makes a lot more sense because
grab
you don't
milk by the horns.
Yeah. I mean, it's more likely that you could milk a minotaur, I think, than a centaur, right? Yeah. We don't really drink horse milk. Do you guys drink horse milk?
Yeah, I drink all milk.
What?
Huh?
What?
I drink all milks.
Okay.
Well, definitely
I have nipples. You can milk me, Craig. That's a shout out to
man. Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Bobby D.
Comedy actor.
You love that movie.
Oh, man. What a dude. This is always playing in my house.
Anyway, Modern Fantasy coming out from Dark Horse on June 27th. Go pick that up. Next up from Image Comics, Death or Glory number 2. Now, we loved the first issue of this book. It was about a girl named Glory who is trying to rob this truck and ends up with a little bit more than she bargained for. Also, there's a guy wandering around with like an ice ray or whatever. What did you guys think about the second issue?
Wow, way more fucked up.
This got real fucked up, dude.
Well, especially because the art is so sort of light and fun, bright. Yeah. When they start cutting open the chest of a living person to tear out the organs to sell to other humans in a deli, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Chop shop. I was like, what does this mean? How could it possibly make money to go through all the expense of gathering humans across from the border to then just sell them as like sliced meat?
That's how cheap human life is below the border.
Yes, Justin. I guess that's from a purely economic sense.
All I'm saying is abolish ICE. That's all I'd say.
Cool. Wow, great.
Oh my God, what the fuck is happening?
Abolish ICE rays. But I do like this book. Rick Remender never shies away from going all the way, and I think that's what's good about his writing. So I'm down. I'm going to keep on it. It's either Death or Glory.
This one I was like, first issue I'm on board. Second issue I was like, maybe not.
You're off board.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm off board.
Overboard?
Pete's gone overboard.
I'm not overboard. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm underboard, I guess. I'm
never bored by my friend Pete.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Oh, really? Why are you not into it?
Well, I mean, someone was sodomized. That wasn't cool.
By a chili pepper.
Yeah.
Voluntarily.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Sort of. They're like talking over their scam.
Yeah, I know. But he's tied up at the time.
But
yeah.
I think, didn't he like go in there and tie himself up with the guy?
He was scared.
Well, he was scared because he knew there was a pepper coming for his puckered butthole. Wouldn't you be scared, Alex, even if it was something we're all down with?
I mean, that's what we're doing by the end of this podcast,
I'm
right?
Slicing the peppers right now.
No, I am not
thank you for
that.
Slicing them, by the way. Thanks for making them nice and small so they get lost in there.
Exactly.
I'm Julian no longer a part of this podcast.
Great. Let's move on to another advanced issue. Nancy Drew, number one. This is coming out from Dynamite on June 13th. This is a modern reinterpretation of the Nancy Drew novels. What are you doing, Pete? What's going
I'm
on?
You've got to be loving this comic. This is like perfectly.
Well, here's the thing. I never read the Nancy Drew books.
Shut the fuck up.
What a missed opportunity for you.
I know. Did you read them?
No.
Then why are you saying shut the fuck up to me?
Because I assumed you read every single one.
I didn't read any Nancy Drew books. I haven't read any of the Hardy Boys novels or anything like that. Yeah.
You seem like a real Drew dude.
I'm not a Drew dude.
Yeah.
Grab a Drewski to...
I'm a Jew,
I read Hardy Boys.
You read Hardy Boys?
Yeah.
There you go. So you're kind of familiar with the world.
I read all the Hardy Boys. You know, in elementary school where you can like order books and like Scholastic thing? Every time new Hardy Boys, check it off.
Yeah.
Plow through it.
Yeah.
Even before I was reading comics, that was like my first sequential
Me
writing
too, bro.
I was reading.
So the idea of this is that Nancy Drew has grown up and still investigating mysteries. She gets sucked back to her town of Bayport. I love this book. I loved it. This is, if you were reading Hawkeye, this is very similar to Hawkeye. It's the same writer. Mm-hmm. And it definitely gave me good shades of that. The Kate Bishop run, by the way. The art is great. The characters are great. I was immediately on board. What did you think, Hardy Boy fan?
I liked when we sort of got to that point in the book. I felt like there was a lot of, we meet all of her friends in these two towns. And I'm like, why are we meeting all these people? She meet all the people and then she literally leaves them and goes and seemingly for the rest for a while to meet all of her old friends, meet the Hardy Boys. That's when the book really took off for me.
What about you, Pete? Hardy Boys fan.
I was distracted by how much you were enjoying this. I just while I was reading, read it, I was together. Like, Zalvin's got to have a Nancy Drew boner. That is,
oh my god,
yeah. I was just like, this is so Zalvin. This whole book. But, yeah, I thought it was enjoyable. I love the art. I'm on board. I'm going to definitely pick it up.
All right, there we go. Weird review from Comic Book Club. Let's move on to another DC comic, The Unexpected, number one. Now, this is continuing the titles running off of Dark Knight's Metal. This one was an interesting one. What did you guys think about it?
It is unexpected. Quite literally, like, I don't know what's going on, really, with a lot of these characters. There's a character named Firebrand who is powered by something called the Conflict Engine, where she has to get in a fight every night.
It's like
night.
Conflict Diamonds.
Yeah. Which
but
I
your
think,
heart.
Yeah. Which I think you maybe have be powered by this as well, Pete.
Yep.
Encounter some, like, a villain who has a cowboy hat and is scary.
Oh, dude, the villain was amazing.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
It was really cool.
He just liked his hat.
Yeah. I mean, that whole panel shot of him was so cool. I love this book. I didn't know what was happening, but
yeah,
I thought
God
the character
show up,
choices were really
rainbow
fun.
Blood.
Here's what I don't get about this book, and I didn't mind it. I thought there was some fun, weird
Cutting
ideas in there,
in half,
and the art was very good. But the idea of, what's her name again?
Firebrand.
The idea of Firebrand that, like, something happened to her. She works in a hospital by day, and at night she has to fight people every 24 hours or she'll die. That's a great, simple concept.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, forget about that. Here's a million other concepts instead.
I agree.
That was my problem with the book.
It was crazy, but it was living up to its name. Unexpected.
Sure.
I think this is one of the more successful of these Dark Knight's Metal spinoff books. So this would be one I would pick up of all of them, perhaps.
Really? Did you read the Challengers and the Unknown?
I did. I like that as well.
I thought that was great.
This is packed with ideas, so I liked that. Challengers I liked as well, though.
I loved how crazy this book was. I really was eating it up. I thought it was fantastic. I can't wait for the next issue.
All right. Wow. Last one we're going to talk about from Marvel, another big relaunch, Deadpool. Number one. Pete, you've occasionally read Deadpool.
All the time.
All the time. Now, I think it's fair to say you weren't totally happy with Jerry Dugan's run for dumb reasons, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's exactly right. Okay. Great way to put that.
Thank you so much. Now, how'd you feel about this?
Well, here's the thing. Scotty Young is writing it, right?
Yeah, man.
And his art is amazing, right?
Yeah, dude.
But he's not drawing this.
Yeah.
So that was weird.
Yeah, but what did you think about it?
I don't know, man. I don't. This doesn't seem like the voice of Deadpool to me. I'm trying to get into this. I read it like three times. I was very happy with the callback to the characters that were in the movie. That made me very happy. I liked the art. I thought it was really fun at times, especially when he was walking around naked. I just think it was funny, but not quite the voice of Deadpool.
Interesting. I felt like this was the voice of Deadpool, which is why I was like, I have read this before. I want a new take on Deadpool.
Wow.
I'm ready for a new thing.
You're
with
pooled
Deadpool.
Out?
I'm overpooled. I'm drowning
You're
in the pool.
Overpooled.
I think I'm halfway between. Well, I don't know if I'm halfway. Whatever. I have an opinion, you guys.
We better launch a new podcast.
Let's launch eight more.
I thought they reset Deadpool. I really do like Scotty Young's writing. He does the art on this as well, but he's been doing a really good job with I Hate Fairyland over at Image Comics.
Yep.
So this actually felt on par with that to me. I do think he had a lot of work to do, surprisingly, given the fact that Jerry Dugan wiped the slate clean at the end of his run. It felt like there was a lot of lift to get out of that and a lot of time spent on the repercussions of that, when I would have liked him to just be working with Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Ray to go and into it. But I think by the end of the issue, we get to a point where, we're going to head into it. He's going to be part of the Marvel Universe again. It's going to be ridiculous and it's going
to
be fun.
It's just such a hard character to write because, unless you take a big swing, because the meta layer and like where are you positioning that? Like how much
it's
of
gotta be like
is
crazy,
he in a comic? Is he aware
funny.
Of the audience? Yeah.
And it's got to have heart.
There's so much explaining to do. He's very verbose. And that's why like you like Deadpool so much, but this character, there's so much dialogue in the Deadpool comics. I'm like, can we strip it back a little bit? I want to see a slightly different take.
You want to see it instead of hear it.
Yeah. I want to live it, breathe it and die from it.
Whoa.
If you like this podcast and other podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Please support the shows. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the Pit Loft in New York. That's totally free. Come on by. We'll give you a big kiss on the face. I don't know what's going to happen.
Wow, that was so unexpected.
Wow, that was bold.
That was the unexpected. What else do you want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter @ComicBookLive.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And we'll see you at the Comical Book Shop.